Two quick comments before I begin the lesson, the second lesson. Two things. One was I was asked actually to preach a lesson about this, and I try to do that when I'm asked. And the second one is that I did I didn't have something quite clear in the first lesson. I don't know if I'm tired today or whatever. I knew better when turning to Daniel chapter 5 that was about the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar. For some reason in my mind, I was thinking of chapter 3 and 4 where Nebuchadnezzar is told that he needs to change his life. But this happens to be a situation after Nebuchadnezzar has left his life. And he's just making a point to him about who this all belongs to. So as we get into this lesson, we were discussing what is my talent. As we think about what our talents are and how we need to use them, of course, this is talking, as we discussed this morning in chapter 25 of Matthew, it's discussing the situation where he has given out large sums of money. And then we made an application to it to some degree about how it would have related even in that physical circumstance. But as we know, there's more to this lesson. As we made an application, we need to go on to make some more things about that. And we need to talk about how could we possibly uncover our abilities or talents, knowing that everything that we have belongs to God, and how we should use them. Not just use them, but use them fully. As we discussed, these men, two of them, certainly went to the maximum in trying to please their Lord, and they understood the need to do that, and they understood the need that it belonged to Him. And it's interesting, as always, it's almost like the third man was trying to blame it on the master himself for having even given it to him in the first place, and the second one was, you know, he just was afraid. And so those are two things we need to understand. So uncovering my talents, how could I possibly do this? And I thought of Romans 12 in a discussion of this. In 3 through 9, the Bible says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that has given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." When we look at this passage of Scripture, and we can certainly go through the rest of the chapter, and I would say it'd be good to go back and read all of this in context, not just this chapter, but all of Romans in context with this. But as Paul points these things out, it's important to understand that there are some things about talents we need to know before we look at these things. One is that in this case, everyone has the same Lord. In the parable that he told, certainly he only had three servants under him. That Lord did. But when it comes to this Lord, we only have one. There's one Lord. He's Lord of lords and King of kings now. He's the one we look to. He's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, we could use it in the greater sense of just God, but Ephesians 4 talks about Him specifically as that. Everyone is a steward of what belongs to another. When it comes to me, I don't even belong to myself. I don't even have anything to do with my life in the sense of I give myself life, that I give myself abilities, that I give myself anything. I have to work hard to use what I've been given. In 1 Corinthians 4, I would say he's probably talking about those men like himself and Apollos and as well as apostles. But I think the principle is still true. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. And I think even though he indeed was a steward in that it was given to him in a different way, we're still just stewards of the gospel. This does not belong to us. It's to be used by us. It belongs to God, and that's why we have to be so careful with it. Moreover, it is required in steward that one is found faithful. You remember he, as was pointed out, a good and faithful servant took care of what in that parable of what God or what that servant that Lord had given him or master. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. He's saying, I was given this stewardship. And as a result of being given this stewardship, I have responsibility with it. I'm not concerned about how others will judge me in my use of it, but I am concerned about how He will judge me in my use of the Word of God. It is through God's grace that we are blessed with talent. In Romans 12, He uses that terminology. He's revealing it by with grace, but He also says it's by the grace of God that abilities are given out. In James 1:17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation or shadow made by turning. It is indeed from Him that we have anything. We have no reason to be haughty, as we read in Romans 12. We have no reason to be lifted up. You will notice those two men, they didn't lift themselves up and say, look at us and what we've done for you. They didn't say that. They said, it is yours. They were glad to give an account for the way they had used it and what they had done with it. And we find that everyone's different. In 1 Corinthians 12, in a discussion of spiritual gifts that He had given people, He makes an argument based on everything. A principle is taught that every one of us is unique and different. Every one of us has to understand that and to know we have responsibility. Just because we're unique and different doesn't make us any less responsible for what He's given us. That one talent man had as much responsibility as a five talent man. You see, it's not a matter of how much, it's a matter of responsibility. As He goes through that and points this out, He talks about the body's made up of many members. And you don't have an argument in your physical body about who's greater. Your body doesn't go, well, whoa, now wait a second. Since I can't be the foot, I'm not doing anything. Since I can't be the hand, I'm not doing anything. I can't be the eye, I can't be this, I can't be that. Well, they all have a part to play. When our body parts are working well together, we feel good. All right, we just feel great. We have energy. We know what we're doing. When our body parts aren't, you ever notice how it affects the rest of the body parts? And indeed, He goes through this and He says that the very ones that you're not giving honor to, those what we would commonly call unpresentable parts, you should give greater honor to. There are no big I's and little U's, as used to be said in the church. We are all one together. That one talent man was equally important in the business of what that man had set them to do. He didn't understand that. But he had as much responsibility to take care of what he had been given as the five-talent man and the two-talent man. Everyone's different. It was given to them according to their abilities. And in Romans 12:6, everyone's been given abilities. There's no one left out of that. Everyone that has the ability, I know there are people who do not, understandably, but everyone else does. And even people, I'm just amazed at people sometimes, even people that we might not think have very much, can amaze us with their ability to point out things to us that are so important in life. One person may have five. One person may have two. One person may only have one at first. When we look at this, how can I find out? How can Abe possibly know what his talent or talents are? Well, maybe, just maybe, by giving it a try. Well, I can't do that. I just can't do that. I mean, I just don't have the ability. I remember I've told this story about my dad. Someone came to him and said, we'd like for you to preach next Sunday. He said, no way. I can't get up publicly. I've never talked in front of people. He was very shy at that point. He couldn't do it. And he got nervous because he went and he said he started thinking about Jonah. And he realized, well, wait just a second. Now, Jonah ran. He was a little fearful. Maybe I need to think about this. And he thought about it and he said, I will do the best I possibly can. And he turned out to be pretty good. As a matter of fact, when people even make a comparison between us, they say he's much better than I am. So he did really good. So he was pushed into it. He gave it a try. You know, I hear people, I was sitting there last night with some folks or yesterday afternoon, and one of the ladies I sat with, she said, I probably bothered you with my bad voice and everything. I said, oh, absolutely not. It's not a matter of how beautiful you sing. It's not a matter of how great God gave you a voice. It's a matter of using what He gave you. Give it a try. Give it a try. And the truth is, if you get up and you really do a lousy job leading singing and you couldn't, as my dad used to say, carry a note in a bucket, ask someone, did I do a good job? Keep working on it. I've known of people who started out, couldn't lead singing hardly at all. Worked and worked hard at it. And yes, they weren't the greatest, but they could lead singing when they were needed to lead it because they wanted to try. People who got up and just stumbled through it. I know a man that got up one time to give a talk. He got up. He looked down. He looked up. And he froze. And he finally had to go sit down. He never said one word. He has served as an elder in the Lord's church since that time. It took a while. He had to work on it. What you need is someone, several. Don't just depend on one person, because sometimes someone might build you up a little too much and might make a comparison and say, well, that's the greatest lesson I ever heard. They're talking about at your level. When I first got up, I hope I'm doing a better job today. I don't know that I am, but I sure hope I am, because I've had to work on it and work on it hard to present lessons from God's Word. I have had to depend on older and wiser people to give me counsel, both men and women, about my lessons. I had a 90-year-old again tell me, you know, you do a real good job, but you're still not as good as your dad. Let's examine some abilities that Paul listed. Let's look at these real quickly. And it's amazing. So the first one I'm just going to use after prophecy, even though I don't know that that's necessarily a spiritual gift at that time, because he said he was going to go give them spiritual gifts, but I thought I'd go with ministry. The word ministry is a broad word. I don't think he was being specific with this, because if we look at these, I think he's using them broadly. He's talking about just being the word comes out to be a servant, just a servant, someone who serves. Sometimes it's used as someone who maybe has devoted their life to preaching, but for the most part, we find servants in the Bible. We find ladies like Phoebe. We find men that were servants as well. And Paul even called himself a servant. Well, you know our Lord and Savior did too. He said, I came to serve. Service. How do you serve? Well, maybe just being a servant to other people. Maybe devoting something to them. Giving them something of yourselves, either physically or spiritually. Maybe serving them in whatever capacity they have need. Whatever it might be. Can you do that, Abe? Can you serve others? Can you be there for others? Maybe devoting one's life to preaching the gospel. Either in a public capacity or in a private capacity. Maybe that's just service. Maybe in the broader sense, could we use that ability? I can't do that. I can't talk to others. I can't. Maybe we should try. Teaching. This is just proclaiming the Word of God to others. This is in a spiritual sense all it's talking about. When we think about it, can we do it? Can we talk to non-Christians about Christ? Can we say something to them? Do we have that ability? Can we open our mouths and tell them what we know? Can we do the best job that we possibly can? Can we maybe, we have a great ability to talk to people who are lost. Maybe we're one of those from Galatians 6:1. Maybe we're one that can bring someone back. Just maybe we're an exhorter. Maybe we're one of those people that could beseech or comfort or entreat or urge people to keep their lives right with God. Maybe we're that one can walk with them and help them with it. Because we all need that sometimes, don't we? We all need that someone to say, you did a good job. We all need someone to say, you're improving. We all need someone to say, you can do this, sometimes. Maybe being that cheerleader for us. Maybe I need to be a cheerleader for others. Maybe I need to let them know how much I appreciate them and I want them to know that they can make it. They can get through this. Maybe to keep going. Don't ever let it get you down. Oh, and I don't want this to sound dreary. I think sometimes we make the life on this earth so dreary. We have a wonderful life here. You know, you think about the life that He's put us into as His children. We're saved from our sins. We're given all the needs of life. I don't care how poor we are or how rich we are. You think about it for a moment. He's promised He'll give us the food and clothing we need. And maybe it is giving. Maybe He gave us the ability. Maybe some people can do this a little better than others. Maybe some people have great riches. Maybe others don't have so much, but does it really matter? It's a matter of just giving and imparting to others. Maybe it's our time. Maybe it's our efforts. Maybe it just comes down to, Abe, can you spare some of your time? Maybe you can spare some of your money. Maybe you can spare some of your goods and let others use them. Maybe, just maybe, you could help them with their physical needs. A household of faith first. Maybe you could help them with their spiritual needs. Maybe you could give and give and give. As Christ said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And you know in that context what Paul was talking about? He was going to Jerusalem. And he knew his life was going to end. It is more blessed to give than receive. Am I willing to give up everything? Maybe it's leading. Maybe it's to stand before, be over, or rule. It's all of those. Maybe it's just that great example that I could give for others. Not a hypocritical example, but a good example of one who stands before others as doing what they need to do. And the problem with this that I'm discovering is I went through them, and as I was going through them, I need to work on every one of these. I need to gain in every one of these. I need to be that talented person who improves on their talent, who does better all the time, who serves as a better example all the time rather than just standing there. Or maybe even as men, taking on the role of elder when qualified, willing to take that on, willing to put themselves out there to serve everyone else, leading in that capacity. And you know what? Leading in that capacity is very, very critical. It is a person who makes sure that a local congregation stands for what's right and can give an answer for it. That's what it's about. Or maybe I'm a merciful person. Or not. It's one's compassionate by word or deed. It's one who doesn't put someone down because they realize they're not doing well. It's not someone that comes up and just puts their finger in your face and says, "You," they have compassion on you. They've been there. They know what sin is. They've had it in their lives, and they understand that. And they want you out of that. You know, you take the greatest being, Jesus Christ, on this earth, and you take the way He lived His life. You take what He did. You take the fact that He never, ever sinned, and He's compassionate towards sinners. Isn't that amazing? So, me, a sinner, I need to be compassionate. Is that an ability I could use? Maybe understanding where I came from. We sang that song, you know, "Don't forget, Lord. Remind me, dear Lord." Never haughty or high-minded. Never looking down on someone. Never, ever, ever making myself greater than anyone else. Isn't that what it's all about? Now let's look at these. Could we use those abilities? Do some people have some of them better than others? It's amazing that He used these, and you think about them. There's six of them here. Could I have them all? Do I need them all? Do I, in some capacity, need every one of these to be the way God wants me to be? We can think of ways to use every one of these. And I thought about them when I was looking through them, and I thought, you know, that really is our life right there. That is our life. We're to serve. We're to teach. We're to urge and exhort and keep people going. We're to give of everything we have. We're to lead. And we're to be merciful. That was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is our example. And if we can do part of that, then when I end this life, can I give that back to Him? Can I say thank you? If I bury my abilities, I'm going to be judged as wicked and lazy. If I don't use what I have been given to use in this life, I'm going to be considered wicked and lazy. Paul exhorted Timothy, get out and use that gift that I gave you. And I realize this is one of those laid on hand spiritual gifts. But again, it's a principle, it's an example for us to not be wicked and lazy. Paul warns him, get out and use it. Am I not equally responsible for getting out and using the ones He's given me? Would anyone in this room be willing to stand up right now and say, I have used every ability He's given me to the greatest degree and I've gained on them the way He wants me to? If I use my abilities properly, I will be blessed with more. You remember we read from Matthew 25:27, He said those that would use it, they would receive more. If you'll use what you have, if that one talent man had used it the way he was supposed to, guess what his reward would have been? The same as the other two. If he just had used it and taken it and at least got him some interest off of it as a good servant. And here's the key. I must put everything on the table. I'm not going to leave this life with, you know, I did pretty good. I used the ones I wanted to, and I didn't use the ones I didn't want to, and I'm happy about that. And so I'm going to approach God, and I'm going to say, you know, you gained where you hadn't sown. You know, you had all these people out there working for you. Boy, is that not horrifying to think of giving that type of an answer? And I was afraid. You know, I just didn't want to use this. I was so fearful. I just could not. I just couldn't. I couldn't talk to people about the gospel. I couldn't be merciful. I couldn't. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That's confidence. That wasn't him patting himself on the back. That was him saying, I did the best I could with the abilities you gave me. And I can face you with that. I am happy to come before you and say, I laid it all on the table for you. Even to the giving up of my life for you. Here it is. I give it back. I cannot be half-hearted and expect God to be satisfied with me. In Revelation 3, the church there at Laodicea, they were lukewarm. He's not talking about the whole church. He's talking about the Christians that made up that church. Combined, every one of them was lukewarm. And I'm going to tell you what happens to lukewarm, he said. You throw it up. It hits your stomach and it's disgusting. And you just spew it. You don't just throw it. You spew it out of your mouth, he said. You better get out of that, he said. Well, I kind of did some things for you, Lord. Aren't you happy with me? I only have my lifetime to use my abilities. As far as I'm concerned in this parable, if I make an application to me, his being gone for a while is a little different. That's not happening in this parable. What it amounts to is I'm given a lifetime to use them. Mine is not, now he may come back in my lifetime, but mine is when I have to answer for it. And it's not going to be like we think. We're standing there arguing with him about how we've done and we deserve this and we've done so well for you, Lord. We're just wonderful people and it is just amazing what we've done for you. And I'll tell you what, I know what the answer will be if I have that attitude. You remember how Solomon concluded his Ecclesiastes letter or groups of thoughts that he was given to write down? Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. It is everything. It's everything we do. If we fear Him and keep His commandments, we will use everything that He's given us to use. For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's a day of judgment. There's a day of reckoning for me. How well have I done with this? I have my lifetime to make it, do it. And here's what happens. But God, I've worked hard. I'm older now. I'm ready to give it up. I'm not going to use them anymore. I used them up to this point. Won't work. If everyone uses their abilities or talents, the church will grow. In Ephesians 4, he talks about the fact that if they would properly understand and know God's Word, they had all these people that God had given them to teach them, to help them, to make them strong. And he says, now, you don't need to be tossed about anymore. You don't need to have all of these doctrines coming. You need to be strong. Then he says, from whom the whole body, they needed to grow up, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Someone once said the whole church was working. Half of them for God and half of them for Satan. That won't work. It has to be 100% for God. 100%. And it will grow. So, a church that has all the members working together, using their abilities to the fullest, will succeed. And I must make sure to use up all while in this life to be pleasing to God. I can't leave anything on the table. I have to use it all. He gave it to me to use it up, to use it to the fullest ability. I never know where that's coming from. I never know what He wants me to do fully, because each day brings new things. But what am I doing with it today? Am I using what God gave me? Am I showing my abilities? Am I doing it the way He would want me to? And I have to continue to grow. I don't care. I might not live another day. I might live another whatever amount of time. But I can never quit growing. I have to keep growing in these talents that He's given me if I expect to be pleasing to Him. So start today. You start today and using your talents as well. If you're not a Christian, think about it seriously. Become a child of God. You have the talent to understand the will of God. You have the ability to know His will. Paul said he wrote it down so that they might understand. And sure enough, we can if we'll listen to God's Word. Not to Abe Martin, but to the Word of God. If we'll pay attention to the Word of God, we'll know that we need to be obedient to Him. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?